Matthew 25, beginning at verse 1. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took lamps. They took their lamps, but took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him." Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said to the wise, "Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out." In other words, we're out of oil, because the oil is what makes the lamp burn, right? So they said, "Give us of your oil, our lamps are gone out." But the wise answered, saying, "Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves." While they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And they that were ready, everybody say they were ready. They that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, "Lord, Lord," the five foolish, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered and said, "I say unto you, I don't know you. I know you not. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh." Basically saying, keep your lamps burning. Keep your lamps burning. Father, we just thank you today for your faithfulness. Thank you for the service already to this point, Lord, in your presence and what you have spoken in songs. Our hearts have been encouraged and lifted, and we thank you for the word now. We ask you to give us ears to hear. Let us hear with our spirit what the Spirit is saying to us. Lord, we want to be ready. We want our lamps burning bright. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. And amen. Amen. So look at your neighbor and say, "Neighbor, this message is for you. Get your own." If there's anything that this story is telling us, it says that. It says get your own. So as I was praying and meditating on this all this week, and I heard these words coming to me, "Get your own." And I thought, where in the Bible does it say that? And of course, this is where my mind went to, because this is as close to those words as I can find. Get your own. And so I thought about that, and I thought about where the foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, because our lamps have gone out." And they said, "Get your own." No, get your own. And that started me thinking, you know. Have you ever had something and you knew somebody else wanted what you had, and you said, "Get your own. Get your..." I'm going to give you a personal illustration. So I was a kid, and I went in the store and I bought myself an ice cream cone. My brother's got something else. My brother Ron, he's the one 2 years younger than me, just under me. He came to me wanting a lick of my ice cream cone, right? Well, I can tell you right now what I said. I got 3 brothers. I love them all. And I love Ron, but I'm telling you, I didn't want to share my ice cream cone with my brother. I love him, but get your own. You know what I'm saying? And to be honest about it, at that time, I didn't know I was being biblical, you know. Because it's right there in the text. No, not so. Get your own. But I'm thinking that my dad didn't read that scripture. Because my dad made me let my brother lick my ice cream cone. Now, that's horrible, right? I mean, that's punished. That's cruelty right there. So I knew. Look at this. My dad says, "You let him lick your ice cream cone." I was like, so here's what happens, right? My brother gets this gleam in his eye. I know what he's thinking. And under my dad's watchful eye, I grudgingly let my brother pull my ice cream cone toward his mouth. And with one lick, he took the whole top off. He took it right down to the cone. And you know that ain't right. That is not fair. And I thought about that. I thought about telling my dad that, but I didn't. I said, Kellen, that's not right. But I didn't tell him that. And I'm telling you what, though. I wouldn't have done it. If my dad had not have been watching, I wouldn't have done it. But it was many years before I found out that I was thinking biblically when I thought it. You know, I didn't say it because dad was listening. But I thought it. Get your own. I thought to myself, not so, brother. Go rather to them that sell. And get your own. Now, it wasn't like I understood the King James yet, but I knew that, you know. So, that's my story. But we all know there are times in our lives when we want to say, no way. Get your own, right? It's a valid point. Because there's always people that want something for nothing. Yeah. There's always people that want to ride on your wave. Yeah. There's always people that want what you work for and you paid for. Yeah. People who want something for nothing. People who want the blessing without the obedience. People who want your ice cream. But they just need to get their own. Yeah. Right? So, I understand this. We're supposed to be willing and able to share what we have. I understand this. Amen. I understand that the oil represents the anointing. It's symbolic of the anointing. And we're supposed to be able to share what we have. Out of your belly flows rivers of living water. And listen, we can share a measure of what we have. But the law of the anointing is this. Every man, every woman must find the source for themselves. That's the law of the anointing. Another law that governs this anointing is you must live in continuous connection with the source. So when we speak of the oil, we're speaking about the anointing. When you speak about the anointing, you're speaking about the Holy Spirit. You're speaking about the quickening power, the illuminating power, the healing power, the miracle working power. It's the anointing that causes the light to shine. Yeah. It's the anointing that, according to the scripture, that teaches us and guides us and reveals Jesus to us. And it's the anointing of the Holy Spirit that manifests the power of God through our lives. So this is what we're finding in the scriptures today. The Holy Spirit is teaching us through the story of the 10 virgins. 5 are wise, 5 are foolish. They're all virgins representing their faith, representing being saved. But I would say that today, that would be a generous calculation. Because I think if the truth were known today, the equation is probably look more like 8 foolish and 2 wise. You know. So anyway, the 5 wise are the ones that not only had enough oil for their lamps to burn at the moment, but they had oil in their vessels in reserve. Everybody say more than enough. Say a little extra. Now, they start out the same, right? They start out the same. They're all virgins, the Bible says. And they start out with their lamps and they start out at the same place. But here's some things you got to know. The foolish did not respect the laws of the anointing. The foolish felt no necessity for any extra oil in their vessel. In other words, they placed no real value on the oil. They placed no real value on the anointing. They had vessels, but they did not carry any oil in their vessels. And there's some things we got to see in this story. This number one, we got to see the importance of staying full. Because no one knows when the bridegroom is going to come. No one knows when it's going to be that last moment the trump of the Lord is going to sound and Jesus is going to return. Nobody knows that. Nobody knows how long it will be. Although it may seem like a short time. I can remember when I was a little kid, they were telling me that the clock is just about striking midnight. Well, I'm 63 now, so that's been a few years ago. So that sense of urgency that is coming any moment, we never want to lose that. But at the same time, we have to understand we don't know.
Right.
And so the scriptures identify the wise virgins as having forethought and preparation. Wisdom prepares for the unknown. Wisdom prepares for the unseen. Wisdom prepares for the unexpected. Wisdom says, expect the unexpected and prepare for it. The unwillingness to look ahead and invest for the future was the attitude that put the other five in the foolish category. Remember that. They're all virgins. They all have the same capacity for oil. They have the same capacity for light. In other words, we could say they all have the same equipment.
Yes.
We could say it like this. We could say they all went to the same church. They all heard the same sermons.
Right.
They all answered the same altar call. They all got their lamps lit at the altar. Okay? But they didn't all have the same attitude of going all the way,
right,
of being fully invested. So we could say that the five foolish were interested, but not fully invested. There's a lot of people that are interested, but not fully invested. There are a lot of people that want to check it out, but they don't want to go all the way. There's a lot of people that want to put their feet in and dip their toes in the water, but they don't want to get out there where they can swim. I remember when I was growing up, my mom would take us down to the river all the time during the hot summer. And very rarely did my dad get to go. But occasionally my dad did get to go. And us kids were like fish, you know. There's four of us. You get us anywhere near a mile away from the water, and it's like that water is calling us. We gotta go. It don't matter if it's an irrigation ditch. We got to get in that water, right? I mean, I swim in the second drop ditch a lot of times. It was the best swimming pool in the country, I thought. And so my dad would get in the water, and it was really cold. I'll admit it was cold. But once we jumped in, you know, the cold just kind of went away. You didn't really notice it too much. But my dad would get out there in the water, and he would just go out there and creep up just a little bit and get his toes in there and get his ankles in there, and he wouldn't go any farther. Now, I don't know if he was afraid of drowning, or I don't know if that water was just so cold, and at the age he was, he's like, I don't need this shock to my system. I don't know. But he was content to get back, just to sit back on the bank and watch us and just go out there a little ways up to ankle deep. Now, we're out there in the middle. We're just freezing. We're freezing, but we're having fun, right? I don't know what the deal was, but there's a lot of people like that. They're okay. They're satisfied just to have their toes in the water, just to be close enough that they can say they're saved. I'm telling you, that's not going to work. In the day and the hour we live in, that is not going to work. It's not enough to be interested. You got to be invested.
Amen.
It's not enough just to have your toes in the water. You got to be like Peter and say, not just my feet only, but my head, my hair, my eyeballs, everything. I want to be all in.
Yeah.
Look at your neighbor, say all in.
All in.
So the foolish live only for the moment. Only with the moment in mind. But the wise understood, we got to store up. We got to stay filled up. Look at somebody and say, stay filled up. See, that's what the Bible tells us in Ephesians. Don't be drunk with wine, where's an excess, but be filled with the Spirit.
Amen.
speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody in your hearts to the Lord. One translation says, be filled and keep being filled. Be being filled. Every day you need to be in the process of being filled. Not being emptied, being filled. How do people get drunk? By drinking. How do people stay drunk? By keep drinking. It's not really deep, you know. It's pretty simple. You get drunk when you start drinking. You stay drunk by keep drinking, right? Same thing's true in the Spirit. To be filled with the Spirit, you've got to continually be drinking of the Spirit. So there's another law of the anointing, and that is, it's your responsibility to stay filled. God is the only responsible for the supply. He's the source of the supply, but you're responsible to position yourself, pay the price, to stay in a filled condition. So Nahum 2:1, powerful verse. It says this, he that dasheth in pieces is come up before thy face. Talk about the devil. How many know the devil is an in-your-face devil today? He that dasheth in pieces, that's the devil. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He has come up before your face. And here's what he says. I really like this. It says, keep the munition. Watch the way. Make thy loins strong. Fortify thy power mightily. The munition means the stronghold, the place where your supplies are stored. But the part I really want to look at is this, where it says, fortify thy power mightily. That is an instruction, and it even is beyond an instruction. It's a command. Fortify your power. It carries with it personal responsibility. You fortify your power mightily. Of course, you and I know it's not speaking of natural power, physical power, human power. It's talking about the power of God in your life. And the word fortify means to strengthen, increase, and build up. So the question is, how do you fortify the power of God in your life? Well, I love this scripture. And I love the fact that the Bible answers our questions. It says, but ye beloved, Jude verse 20, but ye beloved, building up yourselves. In other words, fortifying yourself, strengthening yourself on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. One of the most powerful, effective ways to increase and fortify your spiritual power in your life is to spend quality time praying in the Holy Ghost. And that's not the only way. You got to read your Bible, meditate on the Word, worship, pray, fast. And all these things are things that we do to fortify the power of God in our lives. In other words, to keep the oil filled. To keep your vessel filled. It must be, another law of the anointing is, it must be replenished. The wise understood it, but the foolish did not. The five foolish virgins felt as long as they were around somebody with oil, if they got in a pinch, they could just borrow some. Along the lines of impartation, we understand there is something such as impartation or sharing something, imparting something that you have to someone else in the Spirit. I have received impartations. I know they're real. I thank God for them. But beyond that, we're supposed to minister the anointing by healing the sick, casting out devils, letting the river flow, lifting people up, blessing them, feeding others like Jesus did. But you cannot give your anointing to someone else. Think about that. You can share with them. You can impart to them. But you cannot give your anointing to someone else. Because there's a law of the anointing. Each vessel must qualify for their own anointing. Look at your neighbor and say, you got to qualify. Yeah. So the five refused him. Can you give us some of your oil? Not so. Get your own. Why did they do that? Because they, watch this, because they knew something. We cannot be your source. We have found the source, and you must find the source for yourself. Amen. Tell somebody, you got to find the source. See, you could go further. You could say this. The wise virgin realized that their oil was purchased with a life that was consistent with the anointing. You cannot impart to someone your hunger. Are you following me? You can't do that. You cannot impart to someone your love for God. You cannot impart to them your faithfulness. I can't lay hands on somebody and just by my laying hands on them, they're going to be on time every Sunday. I can't lay hands on somebody and just by laying hands on them, they're going to be devoted, consecrated, yielded, hungry, thirsty vessels for God. I wish that was true because I'd lay hands on everybody repeatedly. But it's not true. You can't impart that to someone like that. So you have to understand, you cannot give that to someone. They must cultivate that in their lives for themselves. If you want to be a vessel, if you want to be a carrier, if you want to be a distributor of the anointing, you've got to live a life that is consistent with the person and the nature of the Holy Spirit. Amen. That's the price of the anointing. I'm not just talking about being touched and being blessed. I'm talking about you carrying the anointing of His presence in your life where when you walk into a place, you change the atmosphere. If there's devils there, you cast them out. You rebuke them. If they're sick there, you heal them by the power of God. And it's an anointing that you carry in your being, in your vessel. Yes, amen. You've got to live a life consistent with that anointing. Okay, let me say it this way. God is not going to put His holy anointing on you, pour His holy anointing through you, if your life is a contradiction to the anointing. I'm going to make it plainer. God is not going to anoint you if you're a liar. He's not going to anoint you if you're rude and rebellious and stubborn, selfish, hateful, critical, sarcastic, judgmental, unforgiving, angry, resentful, full of lust and pride. He's not going to do it. Why? It's inconsistent with who He is. He doesn't place His anointing on that which is contradictory to His character. If you want His anointing, you got to live a life that is consistent with His character. Because He's not going to put His anointing, because His anointing is His approval. His anointing is saying, that's mine. I identify with that. He's not going to place His anointing on your life to identify with your critical, judgmental, self-righteous, hypocritical, angry, vengeful spirit. He's not going to do it. But when you live a life that's consistent with His nature, that anointing comes to abide. See, look. If you really want the anointing, you have to bear fruit that is consistent with the anointing. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. That's the price for the anointing. That's the life God anoints. Here's a powerful verse. Paul says in Galatians 5:24, they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. Now listen to this. They that are Christ, Christ means the anointed one. If we want the anointing of the anointed one to be on us and flow through us, we have got to give Him a clear channel to flow through. We've got to get rid of the clutter. Meaning, we have to crucify the flesh with its affections and lust. Now listen, this is not deliverance. This is not something you got to come and get devils cast out of you and get deliverance. This is something the cross has taken care of, but you've got to apply it to that flesh man. I used to be very sarcastic. Very sarcastic. And from time to time, it tries to get on me. I think I do a pretty good job, but some disagree. But I used to be. And I felt like, well, I'm just telling the truth. I'm just telling it like it is. I'm just, I'm just not varnishing it up and holding it back. I'm just telling it like it is. Well, you can tell it like it is, and it'd be just as painful as telling it wrong. Just because it's the truth doesn't make it healing. The Bible says our words are supposed to minister grace. Always. I have no excuse. I have no right that my words don't minister grace. And they're not seasoned with salt, which means the character of Christ. I used to be very sarcastic. I was sarcastic to my little brother. My little brother got the big brunt of it, man. I slapped him on the head. I was so inconsiderate to him. And he worked with me in the ministry. I was so inconsiderate. I never said thank you. I never said please. I never said you're welcome. Nothing. It was just like, he's my brother. This is what he's supposed to do. And I was critical and I was sarcastic to Pam's mom. And Pam said to me one day, she said, you know, honey, she said, I love you. And now this is where it gets rubber meets road right here. This is where you got to make a decision. Do you want the anointing on your life to flow through your life? Or do you just want to be an interested party but not invested? And so she said, I love you and I know you're a man of God. She said, but you've got this problem with this sharpness in your mouth, this critical, this sarcastic. And I was like, whoo, buddy, that hurt right there. Shot me right between the eyes, man, because it was true. She said, you're an anointed man of God. I know you are. She said, but people are seeing this. And when she said that to me, the Lord showed me a big sheet of pure white with an ink spot up in the corner. Do you know where people's eyes go to? The ink spot. That's natural. And you know what? It's right. It drew everything to that spot. Man, I said, this is not right. At that time, my brother and his wife were traveling with us, and we were ministering and everything, and man, I got under conviction. I said, wow. And I said, you know, I got to fix this. I didn't go to the next service we went to and say, Pastor, I need you to pray for me. I need deliverance. I got a sarcastic tongue. I got a critical tongue. I'm sharp when I talk. Cast it out. No, the cross had already dealt with that. The cross is taking care of everything that's not like Jesus in our nature. Our attitudes, criticism, judgmentalism, self-righteousness, hypocrisy, stubbornness, rebellion. The cross is taking care of that. You got to apply it. We have crucified our affections and lust thereof. So I went. I apologized to my brother. That was a big pill to swallow. You know, I could apologize to her mom. I could apologize to other people. But my brother's like, you know, he's my brother. You know, do I owe him that? I owe him that.
Yes.
And so I went to her mom. I apologized to her. I went to my brother. I apologized to him. I apologized to my wife. I apologized to my sister-in-law because my sister-in-law was taking it more personally probably than anybody because of the way I was treating her husband, my brother, my little brother. Man, when I finally worked through that, I was so glad God addressed that in my life. It was so ugly. I told my brother, I said, Greg, I want to repent. I ask you to forgive me. I have no right to treat you like I have treated you. I have treated you with dishonor and disrespect because you're my brother. I've taken you for granted. And I said, I repent before God. And I ask you to forgive me. And I said, with the help, and Jill, I went to Jill. I said, Jill, I said, I am sorry. I've treated your husband that way. And I repent before God. I've already talked to God about it. And I repent before you. And I'm asking you from this point on, hold me accountable. From that day on, everything. And my brother did anything. I said, thank you. I appreciate that. My brother did said something. I said, he said, thank you. I said, you're welcome. I appreciate, from that day on, I let people know, I appreciate you. I appreciate that. Thank you very much. I understood. I have something in me that I've got to watch. I got something in me that's not like Jesus. And I have to make the decision. If I want that anointing to flow, I don't want flies in the oil. I don't want flies in the ointment. That's what the Bible says. Flies in the ointment sends forth a stinking smell. Flies in the anointing. And flies are things that shouldn't be there. Things that are not like Jesus. So I started getting that out. Well, about a month later, because I went through this test, you know. About a month later or more, we were in a service one day. And Jill approached me. And Jill said, I just want to tell you. I see the difference. You're a changed person, and I want to thank you. And it changed me. And you know what happened? The anointing began to flow freer and purer because I dealt with some impurities. I dealt with some things. I didn't need deliverance. I just needed to admit some things. A lot of times it's not that we need deliverance. We just need to get rid of the clutter. We just need to admit it. Had a guy one time come and say, brother, he threw his hands up in the air. Pray for me, brother. I said, what for? His name was, we called him Biker Bob. I've got a potty mouth. I said, you don't need deliverance, brother. You just need to quit. You need to ask God to help you talk right. You're the one that has to do that. That's the cross. The cross is taking care of that. He said, those that are Christ have crucified the affections and the lust of the flesh. That's your job. My job. It's not always easy sometimes. Putting that flesh on that cross, nailing that flesh to the cross, that's not always easy. But let me tell you, the benefits are out of this world when the anointing begins to flow. So the next law of the anointing is hunger. Hunger is expressed in the value you place on the anointing. If you do not value the anointing, you will not pursue the anointing. Your hunger is a prophecy of the anointing that is coming to your life. Little hunger, little anointing. Big hunger, big anointing. Somewhere along the road, something got into the church that made people believe God will just accept anything that you throw at Him. Just any scraps you want to give Him, God's just over there saying like, oh, could I have a scrap? Could I have a piece of that bacon? Oh, could I have a piece of that? Oh, please. That's not what the Bible said. The Bible says, be ye holy, for I am holy. The Bible says, come out from among them and be separate. Touch not the unclean thing. I'll receive you. The Bible says that I will be sanctified in them that bear the vessels of the Lord. God is looking for somebody that is hungry, that is thirsty, that is seeking Him, that is willing to separate themselves, that is willing to crucify the flesh, that is serious about the anointing. That's what made the five foolish virgins foolish. They weren't serious about the anointing. They weren't serious about the oil. The five foolish said, give us some of your oil. Our lamps have gone out. We've run out of oil. We had some. We had an anointing. We had a touch. But there's a difference from a touch and the anointing. I can be touched by Prophet Harkey, and I can feel it go all over me. But if I want my own anointing, I got to walk right. I got to talk right. I got to love people. I got to treat people like Jesus treats people. Lift your hands. I feel the Holy Ghost right here. Oh, we're hungry. We're thirsty. We want the anointing, Holy Spirit. Oh, we want to. Lord, look at our value. We value the anointing. We are thirsty. Hungry for the anointing. Hungry for the anointing. We want our own anointing. I don't just want to go to a church where people have an anointing. I don't want to just go to a church where you have a prophet and he comes by and lays his hand on me and I feel something go through me. I want my own. Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, get your own. That's what it's about. Yeah. It's about you having your own anointing and your own oil. Get your own. On the day of Pentecost, the Bible says something specific. Every head got a flame. Cloven tongues like a fire set upon each of them. Every head got a flame. A flame to every name. Hallelujah. Did you get your flame? You must go to the source. You must live a life that is consistent with the anointing. I'm closing. You must live a life that is consistent with the nature of the anointing, who is the Holy Spirit. You must cultivate the anointing through praying in the Holy Ghost, reading your Bible, meditating the Word, worshiping, praying, fasting. The anointing must be replenished. That's why he says, keep being filled. An anointing can be caught, which is speaking of an impartation. You can get an anointing from someone. I've had many through my life, even through tithes that people wore that were anointed instruments, anointed men and women of God, anointed men, tithes, and they would give me their tithes. And there's a little anointing in that, like Paul, where the cloths went out from him and devils came out and sicknesses were healed because there was anointing in that cloth. There's different ways of impartation. There's laying the hands on people and blessing them and imparting to them. But that's an anointing. I don't just want an anointing. I want the anointing. Because an anointing I can get from an impartation. But the anointing I get from being in communion, in fellowship, connection with the anointed one. What did the foolish teach us? I'm going to tell you what they taught me. They did not value the oil.
That's right.
They did not value the anointing. And because they did not value the anointing, they weren't ready when the bridegroom came. They missed it. There's no reason for any one of us to miss it. You're in the right place at the right time. You have to value the anointing. An anointing and impartation can be caught, but the anointing for your personal life must be sought. Would you stand? It must be sought. How many want the anointing in your life? Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah. I want the anointing. Hallelujah. Just taking a moment, just waiting on the Lord for a moment. Jesus, we love you. Thank you, Lord, for the anointing today. We worship you today, Jesus. We praise you today, Jesus. If you want the anointing, I want you to come today. I feel like this just goes with the message today. The Lord said, I want you to lay hands on everybody today for an impartation. Now, when I say this and do this, I've already prefaced this to tell you that I can't give you my anointing. I can't give you the anointing. I can only lay my hands on you and stir up what's in you and stir up a hunger in you and stir up a passion in you for the anointing. But I believe that God will honor that today. If you want that, I want you to come. If you want that, I want you to come. I am valuing the anointing. I'm placing value on the anointing. I want the anointing in my life. I need the anointing in my life. We live in a world that is so broken, so hurting, so confused, so messed up. I'm going to tell you something. The doctors can't heal them. Psychologists can't heal them. They can help, but they can't heal. Because they can't get to the source. Because the source of our brokenness, it's the spirit man that must be healed. It's the spirit man that needs the ministry of the anointing to flow. And everywhere Jesus went, the Bible says, he went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. For God was with him. You could say he was with God. And the Bible says, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power. Hallelujah. Amen. Just lift your hands. Jesus. Just say this, say this to yourself. Say, when these hands are laid on me, I believe that the anointing in my life will be stirred up. When these hands are laid on me, I will receive an impartation of the anointing. Not the anointing, but an anointing that is real. And I will flow, and I will follow, and I will value this anointing, and I will cultivate it till it becomes rivers of living waters flowing out of my innermost being. In Jesus' name. Just lift those hands. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, as we lay our hands on them, you lay your hands on them. As we anoint them, you anoint them, Lord. This impartation in Jesus' name. Oh, Russia, we release it now. In Jesus' name. Oh, we release that anointing right now, Lord. That impartation, Lord Jesus. We release it. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, let it flow like a mighty river in his life. We stir it up, God. Hey, we stir it up, Lord Jesus. We stir that anointing, Lord, right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, an impartation of your spirit and your power, Lord Jesus, in her life right now in Jesus' name. Lord, touch her right now, Jesus. An impartation of your spirit, Lord, in her life, on her life, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, we impart, Lord, this special anointing, oh God, of us, an impartation, Lord, of your spirit. Let it flow like a mighty river right now, Jesus. Oh God, we thank you for this impartation today. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. For your glory, Lord, and honor, Lord God. Lord, your anointing, not mine, yours, Lord. This is just a touch, a taste. Let it flow like a mighty river, Lord. Woo, come on, just worship. I feel this anointing increasing right now. I feel it increasing in Jesus' name. Lord, an impartation of your anointing. Let it flow right now in Jesus' name. Fill this vessel. Fill this vessel, Lord. Fill this vessel, Lord. Your anointing, impartation, Lord, flow right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, Lord. In Jesus' name, Lord. In the impartation of your spirit, not my spirit, your spirit, Lord. Your anointing, oh, let it flow like a mighty river in Jesus' name. Lord, your anointing, oh, fresh oil, Lord. Lord, oh, shake stir up every gift that's in her, Lord God. By the anointing of the Lord, oh, stir us up right now in Jesus' name, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Impartation of your spirit, your anointing. That same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. We thank you that it flows and quickens right now. In Jesus' name. Quicken. Let it flow like a mighty river. Woo! Glory to God. An impartation of your spirit, Lord, and your power upon her life, Lord God. Stir up every gift in her life. In the name of Jesus. Woo! Glory to God. Lord, an impartation of your spirit upon your man of God today, God. Lord, that you stir up every gift in him. Lord, that the anointing will rise up big in him, Lord. Like a river, Lord God. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Let this anointing rise up big in him, God. Oh, God, the fire of the Holy Ghost, Lord. Oh, we thank you, Lord. Lord, this is the path of the Lord. And your touch upon your life, Lord God. Now, you know what I want you to do real quick? I want you to turn to someone close to you there, and I want you to just begin to pray for someone close to you there. And as you do, what you're doing is you're agreeing with the Holy Ghost, vessel to vessel, anoint, let that vessel, let that oil flow, vessel to vessel. Let the anointing that's on you flow through you. Let that anointing that's in you flow to that person next to you. Touch them. Let the anointing that's in you flow like a mighty river. Let it flow like a mighty river. Let it flow.
Hallelujah.
I need I need you all to flow with me right here, okay? Flow with me over here. Stretch your hands this way, Sister Kathy. I was praying for you, Sister Kathy. I was in prayer, and as I was in prayer, here's what the Lord, I saw this vision. I saw it in the spirit. And I saw you walking. And I saw you're a strong person in the spirit. How many know Sister Kathy is a strong person in the spirit? But I seen her walking, and I seen her walking in the midst of family and friends and the world and everything. I seen her strong and walking, a praising woman and a worshiping God woman, strong. But then I just seen something come on her, a burden. And I don't mean a burden in the sense like, oh, I just feel so burdened about it. I mean, somebody put something on you. And then, and you know, but it didn't affect you that much. It is, you're a strong person in the Lord. You just kept on going, praising God. Hallelujah. Jesus. And just kept on moving. And here come another one. There come another one. And it just like, it's like more and more just started coming on. Because it's like, people started saying, oh, she's strong. She's strong. She can do this. She'll always be strong. She's praying. She's before the Lord for us. It's gonna, everything is great. But I watched you, Sister Kathy, in the spirit. I watched you walking, strong, faithful, worshiping, praising God. But things just kept coming and coming and coming and coming and coming. And I seen in the spirit, though you're a strong person, it's not taking anything away from that. I seen it. You're going down a little bit. A little bit of feeling that. Because what happened is, things start happening, and I'm only knowing this by what I'm sensing in the spirit. And I didn't never talk to you about nothing, but people started just throwing their responsibilities on you, and just saying, "Oh, she's a woman. She's a powerful woman of God." And the Lord is saying, He said, "I've been watching you," and the Lord says that this has not made Him happy. This has not made Him happy, because He has watched you go down, 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 down. Still pressing, still loving, still worshiping, still praising, but a lot of heaviness that you were not intended to carry. And I heard the Lord say, He said, you tell her. He said, when you release this word, I am going to begin to lift these things off of her. Not all at once, but as you walk, this one will come off. And as you walk, this one will come off. Now, as you walk, this one will come off. And as it comes off, you're going to get straighter in the spirit, straighter in the spirit, straighter in the spirit, straighter in the spirit. Because you have been laboring under this load faithfully, faithfully, obediently, humbly laboring under this. But the Lord says, I am not pleased with that. I am not happy with that. It's not the burdens that I have intended for her. He said, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. And He says, as you go, I'm going to begin to lift them. They're going to begin to come off of you. In the name of Jesus. Lord, I decree this and I release this to her right now, Lord. That this woman of God, Lord, strong in the Lord, the power of your might, walking into that place, Lord. The freedom that you have ordained for her. Freedom. Hey, straight, Lord. Walking upright, Lord God. Praising you, Lord. Glorifying you. Lord, you know what that means. You know what that means, Lord. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 Yeshakarabasata. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. As you walk, they'll come off like they came on as you walk. Jesus' name. How many are thankful for that today? If that was you, you'd be thankful. Woo! Honey, Brother Kent, Sister Judy, Right here, please. I need everyone to point your hands this way, please. Just stand right there. Yes, face me, please. Just face me right here. As I was praying, do you know that the Bible says, ask of me of things to come concerning my sons and concerning the works of my hands command you. You know, when I'm praying, you're on my heart all the time. I'm asking God things about you all the time. And as I was praying, he said, I want you to tell them in front of the church. I want you to tell them. He said, tell them I've seen their faithfulness. And the Lord says, I've seen when it would have been a whole lot easier for you to take what belongs to him, put it somewhere else. The temptations have been strong, have been heavy on you at many times. But the Lord said, he took me to say this, you are some of the greatest sowers, not only in this church, but in the church. Not just because of money, because you sow big amounts of money, but because you sow faithfulness. You sow faithfulness. From the first time we came here, they've been so faithful. And you and Brother Ken and Sister Judy do not tell their troubles to me. As far as I know, they don't go around and tell everybody else, we're going through this, we're going through that, we're having this battle, but boy, they have fought them. They have fought them. Physical battles, spiritual battles, financial battles, they've fought them, and they've been faithful. And I'm telling you, I don't know nothing about this except what God said. He said, tell them, I am going to set them up. Hallelujah. In other words, I am going to, in other words, what he's saying, I am going to set you up for the rest of your life. I'm going to set you up because of your faithfulness, because of your obedience, because of your commitment, because of your pressing through and your faithfulness to him to do when it was difficult and hard and you honored him. He said, I'm going to honor them. And he said, I am going to set them up. Now, I don't know how that's going to happen. I don't know what that means. It's none of my business. I don't know. I don't know if that's an inheritance that's coming your way that's going to set you up for the rest of your life. I don't know if what. I don't know. That is not, like I say, I don't have to know. I just heard him. He said, you tell them. Because I've seen their faithfulness. I've seen their obedience. I've seen their humility. I've seen their walk. He said, and they've honored me. He said, in this part of their life, this latter season of your life, he's going to honor you. He's going to set you up. Everybody believe that. Stretch your hand this way right here. God, I thank you, Lord. I don't know how. It's not my business. I just agree with heaven. Lord, you set them up for the rest of their lives. How you do it, Lord, it doesn't matter how you do it. We just thank you that it is so. In the name of Jesus. Devil, everything that you have done or tried to do against this family, it is backfiring. I mean backfiring big time. Big time. You're going to be sorry. Because what they've been through has been preparation for where they're going. Yay! Because Lord, they have been faithful in few things. And now you'll make them ruler over many. In the name of Jesus. Everybody say, set up. Say, that's a good deal. That's a good deal. Brother Kenny had a prayer request. Stretch your hands this way, Brother Kenny. Your physical heart and your body just needs God to touch him today. Father, this is your vessel. This is your instrument, Lord. You said our bodies are a temple of the Holy Ghost. Lord, his body, his emotions, Lord, everything. We just pray right now, Lord, for stabilizing. Stabilizing in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. He's your vessel, Lord. He's in your hands. We thank you, God, that your will be done in his body, in his life, Lord Jesus. We bind the devil. We rebuke him. Every attack upon him, physically, emotionally, spiritually, financially, any way, we rebuke it now. Lord, we thank you that you are our healer in every area, Lord. Make him whole. Oh, make him whole. Heart, body, mind, soul, spirit. Make him whole in Jesus' name. We thank you, Jesus. 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 How many want to be ready when Jesus comes? Wouldn't it be a tragedy? Think about that. They started out in the same church. They had the same capacity. They heard the same word. But five of them were ready and five weren't. God, I want to be ready. I want to stay full. Would you let me just pray with me as I walk back here to Brother Jess and just lay my hands on him today? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Just stretch your hands this way. If you want to come around him, that'd be fine. Father, touch my brother right now. Lord, let strength flow into his body. That special touch of heaven. That special touch of heaven flow through his body right now, Jesus. Strengthen. That special anointing, Lord. That is his anointing. That anointing, Lord, that is peculiar, belongs to him. You apportioned it to him, Lord. Touch him right now. In Jesus' name. Strengthen him, Lord Jesus. Touch Sister Lola, Lord, right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Strengthen her today. Let fresh oil flow to her today. In your wonderful name, Jesus. Your wonderful name. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your blessings today. Thank you, Jesus. How many feel like you've been to church today?
Amen. Can we pray for the lady that came back here, Linda? She's the one that requested prayer for the daughter that was suicidal. And thank God she came. She did get her daughter to meet with us the other day, and she needs prayer. It was a miracle that the daughter came, because she absolutely wants to exit this world. So her name is Audra. So you know that's a big step for the mom to come and to reach out. So the daughter's name is Audra, but this mama Linda is carrying. This knowing that any moment she just, you know, the daughter didn't reach out, the mama did. So pray for Audra.
Amen. Amen. Let's agree. Touching that today. Father, we thank you that that suicidal atmosphere, attitude, thought process is broken. In Jesus' name. We bind that in Jesus' name. You tormenting spirit that has come against Audra's mind and heart and emotions. Spirit of hopelessness and despair must leave her presence. Leave her in the name of Jesus. Lord, we release the spirit of hope and thanksgiving, Lord God, that the light will shine upon her path, Lord Jesus. Lord, that you will touch her by your mighty power. Lord, because you're the God of all hope, you give her hope, Lord. You give her an expectation, Lord, of better things, God. Lord, we just thank you that you're drawing Audra by your spirit, Lord. And Lord, we just break suicide and attitudes and thoughts of hopelessness. We break it off of her. We break it off of her. In the name of Jesus, we decree in her liberty and her freedom. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord. Lord, that you touch Linda and minister to Linda as well, Lord, as she has fought this fight, Lord, and carried this burden, Lord. I thank you that you minister to her today. Lord, hallelujah, the peace that passes all understanding, Lord Jesus, that you minister to her by your spirit, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Praise God. Possibly. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed.